Hello and welcome to the Beauty Talk podcast. I'm Letitia Bishop, your host, professional makeup artist and beauty writer. Thank you for coming back and listening to another episode. If you love learning about all things beauty, please consider subscribing and say hi to me on Instagram at Letitia Bishop. Today's guest is Kim Robinson, someone indeed inspirational to me. We met over 10 years ago on my first trip to Hong Kong. I was a young 20-something year old, fresh off the boat, as they say, and meeting such a high caliber person and the world that came with that was like a dream. Kim is known as the hairstylist to the stars and ultra chic wealthy ladies of Hong Kong. Over 40 years, Kim has built his brand and image with an impeccable eye for style and beautiful things. Welcome on the show.
Thank you for having me, Letitia.
I'm glad to have you here. So tell us, how and why did you get started in the art of hair?
Well, I was 14 years old, hating school, at the hair salon with my mother on a Saturday, and the boss offered me a job. And the rest is history. I left school with my father screaming all the way around the block. I would say spitting blood, actually. I don't know if I should say that on
this.
But anyway, it was a nightmare, actually. No boys went into ladies' hairdressing in the 1970s. It was not a done thing. But I was contrary. I didn't want to follow on the footsteps of my father being a farmer. And I left school, and rest is history. Haven't looked back. I chose a profession that I loved at the beginning and still love today. I'm very fortunate.
Very fortunate to have found it so early and then being able to continue it through so much of your life.
50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh. So I said 40 first, but now it's 50.
Well, 45 years in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And 5 years at in Australia before I left.
Yeah.
And a few years in between in Paris and London, and you know, time flies.
It does. It does. We've already known each other for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, you think I'm 29. I know.
Yes. What do you think has been, you know, you've got such a successful career and worked on many amazing heads of hair. What do you think has been the qualities that has propelled you into such a career and differentiated you between other hairstylists, even in Hong Kong or in the world? Like, what made you?
Well, you know, you'd have to ask the people that I've worked on what difference, but I have a passion. I love what I do. I'm always searching for perfection, for more beautiful. I have an eye that I was born with, a vision that I can see beauty in every woman.
Mm.
In fact, you know, getting to that point, I mean, a lot of women have never discovered beauty themselves. They don't know how to, or haven't had the vision to see it.
Or felt beautiful.
Well, you ask a lot of women, you know, when was the last time you felt beautiful? And over half will say they never felt really beautiful, or they're not beautiful, or maybe when I was married, my wedding day I was beautiful, or I don't have time to make myself beautiful. It's not something important. I can't, you know, I mean, it's always negative things when you ask a woman that. In fact, so many women are beautiful. They just don't know how to achieve it, really.
Yeah, and you make them look it and feel it with your whole service and team and brand that you've created.
Well, part of the thing is how you feel beautiful, because a lot of hairdressers may make you look beautiful, but you may not feel it. And I think it's finding that special frame for your face, which is what we do, is to get the right proportion and to create a look that works for you, that makes you feel beautiful and makes you feel confident and empowered. And a lot of women don't feel that way because they have the wrong shape hairstyle for their face, or their hair maybe a pop too long, or a pop too short, or the proportion wrong. But you know, I see it all the time. I mean, all over the world, I see women on the street that are beautiful in their structure of their face is beautiful, but wearing the wrong shaped hairstyle. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what's made you so different. You work with the client, and some people, they go to the hair salon and they don't know what they want, but maybe you've been able to guide them and tell them what works for their face rather than...
I have been exposed through some of the most talented hairstylists in the world through my career. And also the women that I've had my hands on have exposed to me and shared with me, you know, what works for them, why they want certain things. And it's sort of rubbed off. It's called experience. I didn't have it when I was 14 years old, obviously. Now I'm, you know, at the stage in my life that, you know, I have worked with so many incredibly beautiful women that are discerning and have a particular point of view. And hairstylists that have shared with me their unique techniques, their unique way of beauty. An example, Alexandre Paris, I worked with him for 20 years in Paris, doing all the couture shows and the runway shows with all the supermodels. And, you know, they taught me, you know, how do you lift the neck? How do you lift the face through the shape of the chignon, the shape of the style of the hair, that when we were just styling the hair, we weren't cutting the hair. But, you know, it's how you can make someone look incredibly beautiful simply by removing hair in a certain area and adding volume in another area. You can really change someone completely. And believe me, it's empowering. When a woman sees herself in the mirror and feels more beautiful, not just looks it, but feels it, she feels like she owns the street, and that's priceless.
It is, yeah. I agree. Yeah, that's the... I think a lot of hair stylists don't approach their clients in that way of the face making them feel.
Well, they call it, it's known as the golden ratio. Mm-hmm. It's Leonardo da Vinci's proportionate on the face. How do you break the face down in different areas, and how do you tell what's beautiful and what's not beautiful in a perfection way? It's all about balance. It's all about getting the right proportion. And most hairstylists are taught technique. Mm-hmm. They're not taught...
The face is irrelevant right? They don't...
Well, even when I worked for Vidal Sassoon, I mean, it was all about the technique, like engineering, a structure, you know? It's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, it was like that. Where in Paris, it's nothing to do with that. It's to do with... where the face needs more volume, where the face needs less volume, where the neck is too short, where you have to elongate the neck. You know, it's so many things that I was exposed to growing up, studying under Alexandre in Paris, that are still with me today. And that's why I see beauty in every woman, but most of the time they are wearing the wrong shaped hairstyle. That doesn't mean you cut your hair off, just need to tie your hair up or tie your hair back or take it, give you more volume on the crown. Or it doesn't mean you have to wear short hair. It just means that you need to have the right proportion. Mm-hmm. But once you've experienced it and you know for sure that there is a difference. And, you know, some hairdressers have it and obviously some don't. And it's just finding that right hairstylist that works and gives you a look that works for you and empowers you and you feel beautiful. If you haven't found it, then you should go search. And one of the tips I would suggest you do is go and have your hair styled with a hairstylist before you go for the cut. Check it out first and see if he has a sense of what works with your shape face.
His feeling, his vibe.
And interview him and ask him questions about what shape face you have and do you have any ideas of styles that would suit me before you make the appointment for the haircut. Because once you've made that appointment and you sit there and the hairdresser tells you all these tricky words that you don't even understand what that's going to look like, and you sit there and you guess and hope, and he guesses that it's going to be right and sometimes it works out and you look fabulous and you go home and shampoo your hair and it never looks the same again. Because the cut's not right, you know, it was a fancy blow dry. So it's safer to check it out with a blow dry first.
That's a really fantastic tip for anyone at home. Like, no matter where you are in the world, you should, go get them to style your hair for a girl's night out or something.
Yep.
Then you get to know them and don't ask like them it. Questions.
Yep.
What would you do if today we were doing a cut?
Yes. Then it's not like, you know, it's
interviewing
not,
the stylist.
Yeah, well, then he doesn't know it.
He doesn't know.
You know, he thinks it's all
sneaky
about him.
Sneaky and smart. He thinks it's all about
him. Well, I've trained a lot of hairstylists. They're all very tricky. They're all very good at the words and condemning what you've got because they want to put everyone else down and
out
say how you look.
As well.
You look dreadful. The haircut's not talking. It has no movement. It needs this. It needs that. You need a younger look. And you sit there and go, yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah.
And what does that
look
like?
Glazed eyes over and you're like,
and you've
okay,
got
sure.
no idea. It's quickly getting off to the base and get your hair shampooed, and then it's all too late. You know, yeah. you have to accept the outcome that, you know, this is how normal hairdressers work. But
Bit of marketing involved with the words.
Sure.
Over the years, you've seen, I guess, many hair trends over the eras. What was your favorite era for, I guess, you could say cuts, but also maybe like styles? What was your favorite era and trend?
I'm a fan of old world glamour. I liked so many eras, the flapper era with the bobs. I love them. Mm. You know, the very early Louise Brooks shots. I love that look. I like the war years, when in the Second World War, when you had a lot of the waves and rolls and things. I think that was so sort of chic and great. And I love the 60s with all the volume hair and the Brigitte Bardot and all the sexiness that Paris brought to the 60s. And then you had Vidal Sassoon, which was, I wasn't a big fan, to be honest, but it was a very changing era where he introduced wet hair cutting and created a whole new revolution with geometric haircuts. And it was, you know, it's a whole new take, a whole new mod look with the miniskirt from Mary Quant. And there was a whole new generation of mods that had these looks, and it was great. Then came the 70s and we had wash and wear perms, or wash and go revolution. And then we hit the 90s and it's all about sort of, you know, stronger looks. So, you know, every era has its good points and bad points, and it depends on how you look at it. But favorite for me, probably, if I go back to you know, Audrey Hepburn's 50s, 60s, I love that era. I thought it was very chic, and she's one of my icons.
That was like proper hairstyling, wasn't
it? Yeah, but you know, even in Breakfast and Tiffany's, the movie, when she hadn't got her hair put up, and it was very sort of trendy and girly and pretty. Was it long down, and she had a sort of vat combed, I think, volume on the crown. It's kind of sexy. I love this whole Brigitte Bardot era, whole era of Audrey Hepburn. I thought it was very, very gorgeous. I love that part at all. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of some of the hair today that you see on the catwalk, on the runway, and on the street. People haven't looked like they put a brush in their hair. It's all matted up and undone, and it's all part of, and they put it with a couture gown, and models strolling up the runway with undone looking hair that sort of looked like they got out of the bath and rub a towel on the hair and not have put a comb through it. I'm not a great fan.
That's not your vibe.
Not really. It works on some cases. When you're young and very beautiful, you can get away with anything. But I don't think half the girls on the street that have their hair long and flat and looks like it needs a good cleanse.
It doesn't translate into real life.
I don't think they look beautiful. I don't think that they look hot. I mean, I always look at people from a desire of looking sensual, looking attractive, looking desirable, you might want to say. I think a woman at any age wants to still be noticed. And I think a lot of women I see, you know, I walk by them at any age and I wouldn't even turn my head because they just look ordinary and plain. It's not their fault. It's just that's what the best they can do. And I think a lot of hairdressers are, to my point of view, need to have their head red because they create those styles. I think, you know, that really everybody needs a look that makes them noticeable, desirable, and feel empowered, that they feel beautiful, not just leaving the salon, but when they wake up and look in the mirror every day.
Yeah, that's the dream. What products do you have in your like working hair kit that you can't go to work without?
I like to have products that give volume. Mm-hmm. I like to have products that take the volume away and make the hair appear slick and shiny. I think that, you know, every model or every client that I have to work on has different needs. There's not one look that works for everyone. So, you know, I think in the wardrobe at home that people, if they've got fine hair, they need volumizing products that maybe they don't use every day, but perhaps when they need a little extra help. And products for if they've got frizzy, dry hair, they need products that add moisture and texture to the hair so the hair appears less dry and more healthy. So I think, you know, it depends on the individual, but the question was for me, as I'm working with all different types of hair and different personalities of different women, I've got mm-hmm. clients that like their hair completely slick, flat, and they want it straight, and they have it ironed, and, you know, they've got frizzy hair, and that's how their hair is. And I've got clients with very fine, flat, straight hair that like volume. So, you know, it is all about the individual and what makes you feel empowered and pretty. And also, you know, I like to have the tools that can help me achieve it easily. So,
do you know any names of them off by heart that you
Well,
can,
there's so many available on the market. I think that what we use professionally in the salon aren't always easy to use at home. I'm sure that many of you listening now have bought products from the salon and gone home and opened it up and tried to use it and it's too sticky or too this or too that, or you can't get the desired look. So I think a lot of products, you need to be layered. You need to have different products. And I like to educate my client, if they are purchasing products, how they have to use it. Because a lot of products, when you look at the directions on it, I don't normally use them in the same way. A lot of products, example for volume products, I'll give you one an example. It's called sea salt spray. There are many brands on the market. It gives texture and volume. Mm-hmm. It coats the hair and it's not necessarily sticky, but it can make your hair all tangled up and matted. And if you don't use it correctly, it's a nightmare. It's really, you'll just throw it in the bin and you'll never use it again. But this product works really well on fine, thin, flat hair. But apply it when your hair's dry, only to the root, one pump per section. Just pump it once. Don't pump. You'll end up putting too much layering, too many coatings, and your hair will be sticky. So, you know, there are many products on the market. You know, I mean, too many to mention now. But you need to have an education, really, on how to use it. And if you're not sure, use less. If you're going to apply it when your hair's wet, dry it off and see how it works with a very small amount. And if you need to add some more, well, then add a little more. But if you put too much in the hair, you'll end up back in the shower again trying to get it out of your hair. And, you know, this is what problems with most people with product usage at home.
It's a fine line when you put too much in.
Same with cosmetics, makeup, the same.
Yeah.
Skincare, I've got lots of products that are given to me all the time. To try out from all different people who want me to experience their product and post, etc. I'm often asked all the time. But the problem is, you know, I go home and put it on and I feel it after 5 minutes it's too sticky and I'm reading the directions and I sort of can't imagine in the high humidity that we have in Hong Kong during the summer anyone to use half of these products, and they're expecting to layer it with firstly put this, then that, then this, then that. And your skin's sticky and it's too heavy for most of us during that period. But in Europe, when the product was developed,
with a dry climate, with a different diet,
and a whole different situation, you know, you use it differently. So it's we have a different issue out here in Hong Kong.
We really do.
Yeah.
I always say that, like, especially with makeup and trying to keep makeup on your face, if they want to have a test of formulating a product and they want to test, come and try and test it in Hong Kong and make the makeup stay on your face here, because this is like got to be one of the most humid.
I think a lot of the time less is more. When you're living in different cultures, different climate, different diet, different skin, you have to adapt it to suit you. There's no one formula fits all to me. The same with hairstyles. Like, a lot of hairdressers have certain styles that they like and they just duplicate them and give it to everyone they get their hand on, because they feel confident. Everyone doesn't complain, so everyone likes it, so therefore you're going to like it. And you know, I'm famous, so therefore you have to have it, you know.
Safe for them.
This is how it happens. And the same with people who develop skincare products, a lot of them are similar, you know, and different brand, different perfumes inside, and you know, you end up with the same problem. How many women out there, if I go into their drawer in their cosmetic area in their bathroom and open up, and how many bottles of unused products have you got in there that you don't throw out? At the same time, it's been there for how long? Because you tried it a few times and it didn't work out.
Yeah, we all do.
I know, and we keep searching for that miracle.
We're searching for the one, right? Never stops.
No, well, I'm the same. I've got every anti-wrinkle bottle that you can think of, you know, anti-anything, you know. anti-age, anti-wrinkle,
anti-frizz.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I don't, that word anti, I've not put on any of my products at all, by the way. I'm not using that
there
word
is
anti.
A, that's good, because there is a movement around that, that with the word anti-age in the skincare world, that people
talk
are
about
trying
the positive things that the product
exactly.
has.
Exactly.
Not what, you know, not yeah. anti, because you know something, it's like...
Anti-age. Be thankful, you know, being aging is a gift.
Oh, tell me about
it. It is. It's
you
a
know
gift.
Something? We are lucky. It's inevitable.
So anti-age is not really like we want to age. That's a gift,
well,
meaning you haven't
you've lived. The thing is that what we're looking for is we want to age gracefully, at least not look.
Yeah.
If we can look younger than our age.
The best we can.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we look younger than our age, it's a blessing. And we're all looking for that magic thing in the bottle, which unfortunately... You know,
not in a bottle.
No, I think sometimes it's a whole package. It's also our diet, our lifestyle. Do we get enough sleep? Are we drinking enough water? Et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not in here to discuss that. I know, but I mean, it's just to me the same with hair. You know, a lot of women, you know...
What do you think about hair and aging? Because I really do think hair does age. Like
absolutely does, and especially
yeah.
if you're doing a lot of chemical treatments to it and over a period of time not maintaining it at home... A lot of women have this problem. They leave the salon looking beautiful. It's been blow-dried. I mean, styled. They leave the salon looking fabulous. And after like a couple of weeks of cleansing it at home and not maintaining the hydration of the hair themselves, and their hair starts to get faded and dry. And then they end up a month later, 2 months later, perhaps going back into the salon again, putting the color on again. And the same thing happens again over and over. And it gets drier and drier and drier. And this is what happens.
Because when you put the colour, is that like a temporary fix of making it look better?
Well, you know, yes, but you know, the colour coats the hair and reflects the light and looks very shiny when it's first done. But if you're not using the correct products to maintain the colour at home, it will fade out. It will fade in. It will be leaving the hair porous again. You've got to fill that hair with proteins and nutrients to nourish the hair again. Otherwise, you know, you'll end up the exactly same thing happening and the color fading just as fast as it did the last month, you know.
And is that just more conditioning products that you recommend?
It's the right cleansing products. It's the right conditioning products or reconditioning products. I highly recommend doing, you know, intensive hair treatments at home regularly, because this is something that does prolong the life of the color and does engage in time invested in your hair, and your hair will love it, and your hair will look more beautiful much longer. And this is something that, you know, people think, oh yeah, but I don't have time. But you know, it takes, well, you can do it a 10 minute one or 5 minute one in the shower, I mean, while you're cleansing your hair, after you've cleansed your hair. So it's not always something you have to do, spend hours and hours and hours on in the salon. It's just like having a facial and going home and washing your hair with soap, and washing your face with soap, sorry.
Yeah.
It's better to
use
good products regularly at home than spend time having a facial, in my opinion.
That's true.
I think that it's what you're doing regularly and what's your habit in what you eat. It's no good going to a health farm and going on an incredible diet for 2 weeks and coming out looking fabulous and going and eating pizza when you go home.
For the rest of the year.
It's what your habits are. It's how you live your life. And it's, you know, and I know a lot of women don't have time to spend on themselves. They've got kids, they've got a husband that may have a career. And what time is left over for them? I mean, I call it putting themselves on sale. They really don't have the time or make the time for themselves. And I think there's certain things that you need to look at, you know, that are important. Yes, your kids are important. Yes, your husband's important. Yes, your job, your career is important, but also you are. So you need equal time. You need to balance that out. And that's something that's really important when it comes down to your hair, because the hair is the frame of your face. And a lot of women, what I call, almost let themselves go because other priorities in their life, and they look a mess and wonder why, you know, things are, and why their confidence goes and why they hit middle age and look, you know, older than their age, or look tired, or appear tired and look tired, because, you know, they've let themselves go because they don't have time. But you need to balance that out a little bit. It's a really give and take, you know. You need to have me time, you know. I'm having this conversation all the time.
Investing on yourself is not just it's not just investing on yourself. It also reflects in other areas of your life. You will feel better at work. You will feel better for your husband, for your relationships.
Yeah, well, you know, I think how you look affects how you feel.
Yeah,
unfortunately, it does. And it's not about the latest trendy haircut. It's about having a look that works for you. Mm-hmm. It may be keeping your hair longer and maybe tying it up for work if you don't have time to style it like the hairdresser do it.
Mm.
But, you know, these things that you need to work out what works for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so tell us about, you have some new products.
Oh.
Yeah. Share.
Now comes the hard sell part.
No. No, you can only really buy them in the salon right now.
Well,
but you formulated some hair care. That's exciting.
Well, I've been working with some incredible research chemists in Italy. Yeah. Most of my clients are Asian, and we have been trying to have incredible results with products that were never developed for Asian hair in the first place. And I have been in touch with some incredible research chemists in Italy that have designed together with me, and we are creating products that work expressly for Asian hair. Asian hair is different from Caucasian hair. It needs a more intense product. Most Asian girls have oily scalps and very dry, coarse hair most of the time, 90%. So, you know, everything we do has to have that in mind, the fact that they, with 90% of Asian clients coloring their hair in some form or another, they need products that help prolong the life of the color, that help maintain the quality of the hair. So we're in the early development stage. The first range is called HRF. It's a scalp cleanser and a hair treatment. Now in this case, it's a regular product for anybody to use, men and women, any hair type. It cleanses the scalp quite deeply. I tell you what the problem is. Most of the products that we use here in Asia have some form of treatment in the hair shampoo for the hair. And what happens, it leaves a film on the scalp, and most of the time the scalp isn't cleansed enough and your hair gets dirty within a day to 2 days. And you end up cleansing again and again and again and washing the living daylights out of the hair completely. Mm-hmm. So this new product, it's called Hair Rejuvenation Formula. It is a scalp cleanser that cleanses the scalp and the hair at the same time. It doesn't leave any residue in the hair, and you apply the treatment afterwards with its own special brush that you brush it through while it's wet in the shower, and it restructures and re-strengthens the hair. So it's a really, really great product. It's got a lot of peptides and a lot of other nutrients in it that are really quite powerful. One of the biggest things I noticed when I was creating the products is that the chemist said to me, that's very expensive.
To use that ingredient or
they
something.
They said to me, yes, and wanted. I said, I need it stronger. Well, we've already put the limit. I said, well, why? What do you mean the limit? Well, it'll be too expensive to retail. And I said, I'm not interested in the cheapest product. I'm never going to win on the cheapest product. I want the best that money can buy. I'm tired of using products that don't work. I said, there's no point in doing something that's already out there already with my name on it. What's the point of doing this? I'm either going to play to win or I'm definitely going to lose, because there's plenty of the big pharma people out there. They're going to kill me anyway because they can do it bigger, cheaper, nicer,
bigger production,
better packaging in the right shops, etc. I'm not interested in that market. I'm looking for my niche market, which is going to be people who are really looking for something that's unique and special. The new product that I'm developing now is under the brand Kim Robinson Hair Beauty, which is for colored hair. And it's phenomenal. I've got a non-foaming cleanser that cleanses the hair very deeply without taking the color out of the hair. And I've been doing so many tests on it for months already. And so many clients that keep asking me, when's the product going to be available? Because the hair stays cleaner longer. It's shiny like hell. It's incredible. I can't believe it. How someone's hair who's not shiny after just the shampoo alone is glossy, like it's got a coating over it, which it's not. It's actually just how the hair cleanses. It's amazing. And a special intensive hair mask that's set together with the cleansing clay. And it's really intensive, heavy treatment for the hair. It's not for the scalp, it's for the hair. And how many times have you had a treatment at home your hair feels fantastic when it's wet, combs through, smells nice, and after your hair's dry, it's almost exactly the same as it was before. It's like no difference. And I think to myself, you know, I mean, I've been using those types of products for years, and finally I found something that I can feel the difference in one use. So this is what I'm looking forward to doing, and hoping that you'll try it. You know, I mean, it's something that I have a passion about, because I'm always looking for something unique and special, whether it's the hair salon, the way we decorate our salons and operate our salons, or the clients that come to us frequently and tell us that they get stopped on the street miles away from home by complete strangers asking who does their hair. Their hair is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And to them, that's priceless. And, you know, to me, I'm always looking for the exceptional. I'm always looking for something unique and special. So I'm hoping that this is something that's will work.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave the links down below of where anyone can purchase it if they would like. And what you mentioned slightly about your salon, if you guys Google Kim's salons and have a look at the Google images that you can find there, they're impeccable. His style is always on point. But thank you for coming on the show today. I think we had some good chats.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. If you want to find Kim, you can find him on Instagram at Kim Robinson Hong Kong. And thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. You can find details on everything I mentioned on the blog, The Beauty Talk. I'll leave a link below for this episode's post. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the newsletter so every episode is delivered directly into your inbox. That way, you'll never miss an episode. I'd love to hear from you and see what you think of the episode. You can follow me on Instagram at Leticia Bishop, or I have a private Facebook group, which you'll also find a link for down below. Please don't forget to subscribe on any of the top podcasting platforms like Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. If you liked this show, please send some love by writing a review, and I'll see you in the next one.